reading of God's Word from Luke's book, chapter 4, beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 29. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "He," that is Jesus, "went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' they asked. Jesus said to them, 'Surely you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' 'I tell you the truth,' he continued, 'no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We have looked at the topic of having spiritual eyes a few weeks ago. We return to that topic. But before we get to Jesus' statements, and we'll look more than this report in Luke's book, we'll read from the prophet Isaiah, as Jesus did, this time in the 6th chapter. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" When we look at this Isaiah passage, which is so cool on so many levels, Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." This is in the first person. We don't get too many eyewitness reports in the Bible. This is one of them, and it is the prophet who is in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, because he is in what was called the Holy of Holies, we know that Isaiah was a priest. What we know about temple worship tells us that Isaiah was the priest that day, the priest. On the Day of Atonement, only one priest went into the Holy of Holies, the third enclosed room of the temple, where it was believed that the very presence of the living God dwelled. And Isaiah recorded, "I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." This is the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'm trying to remember the last time in the Old Testament that someone stood in the Lord's very presence. Job finally experienced God's presence. Samuel certainly heard the voice of the Lord. Elijah wasn't in God's very presence. He saw the Lord pass by him. Otherwise, we go all the way back to Moses. But still, never a firsthand report as we have in the book of the prophet Isaiah. "I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." This is exciting stuff. But still, commentators have asked, what did Isaiah actually see? Did he really see the Lord himself in the temple in Jerusalem? Or did Isaiah have a vision of the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem? And then we have to ask, what's the difference? You may have awakened from a very dramatic dream, maybe a nightmare. And what do we so often tell ourselves? It was just a dream. Sure, but have you not noticed that your heart still pounded? Your limbs may have twitched or moved. Maybe your blood pressure was elevated. Maybe you broke out in a sweat. Just a dream? That is something I might tell a young child, but I know better. Apparently, it doesn't matter to my brain or my body if it was just a dream. It was real enough. That helps us understand and answer the question, what did Isaiah really see in the temple of the living God in Jerusalem that day? Isaiah tells us, "I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." In actuality, in a vision, with an active imagination, Isaiah certainly experienced the living God as he stood there in the temple. Maybe it's a little like the Star of Bethlehem. The word in the Bible, we translate star. Come to find out, the ancients called everything in the sky a light in the sky. They did not have categories: star, planet, comet. So was the Star of Bethlehem really a star? Doesn't have to be. That's the translator's preference. It could have been a comet. The important thing is that the wise men saw it, and they knew what it meant. The birth of a king. They pursued the star or the comet's path and found Jesus, and they worshiped Jesus. And they weren't even Jewish, but they worshiped the Jews' Messiah. So was it a star? Does it matter? Let me ask you, do you remember Magic Eye? Magic eye became a general term for an image hidden in what appears to be a pattern of images or dots. The first books of Magic Eye were published in the United States 20 years ago. The real name of those images is an autostereogram. It allows some people to see 3D images by focusing on two-dimensional or flat patterns on paper or on a screen. The viewer must diverge his or her eyes in order to see a hidden three-dimensional image within the pattern. It takes a little training yourself to see the pattern within the pattern. You kind of have to not look directly at the pattern. You kind of just look in the direction of the pattern without trying to see clearly what the pattern is. Then your eyes sort of shift, and the image that is hidden within the pattern emerges. There were books of this stuff sold in the 90s. They were on the New York Times bestseller list for over a year. And those of you who know me, this is kind of funny. You'll appreciate this. On older Windows computers, you can choose a background for your desktop. The screen you always see when you start to work on the computer, there's a pattern that Microsoft offers on their computers, makes my magic eye kick in. The color of that pattern is a deep brown. The name of the pattern, are you ready? Coffee bean. That pattern that almost automatically kicks in my magic eye is coffee bean. I could stare at that image all day long. So magic eye takes some self-training. Takes some getting used to. It doesn't just happen to you. Well, so does spiritual seeing. You don't just wake up one day and say to yourself, today I'm going to look for the spiritual side of things. That's not how it works. It's a lot more like magic eye. You have to develop a sense for magic eye, and you have to want to do it. You have to develop a sense for seeing things spiritually, and you have to want to do it. Whatever Isaiah saw in the temple of the living God in Jerusalem, Isaiah certainly had the spiritual eyes to see it. And it changed his life. He went from priest to prophet. How many times does our Lord Jesus say, those who have eyes, let them see? What does Jesus mean? Everyone has eyes. And yet Jesus will suggest to the Pharisees that they are blind. Jesus wants us to see. Jesus wants us to truly see. The psalmist writes of it, they have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. And Jesus will say, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And to the disciples, with regard to the miracle of the loaves and the fish, Jesus says, do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And remember, there were disciples walking with Jesus after the resurrection. They did not know it was Jesus. And then finally, near the end of the last chapter of Luke, it says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Their eyes were open, right? But they still couldn't see that it was Jesus who was with them until they ate and Jesus broke the bread. And then they got it. They saw, this is Jesus, right here with us. In John chapter 9, John's book, chapter 9, Jesus has this discussion with a man who has been healed of his blindness. And the man is questioned by the authorities about his healing. And the man answered, now that's remarkable. You don't know where Jesus comes from, yet Jesus opened my eyes. We know that God listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, the Pharisees replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard they had thrown the man out. When he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? The Apostle Paul wrote, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. And the Apostle also writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The risen Jesus Christ gives warning to one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold so you can become rich, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. I want you to have gold so you can buy salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Apparently, they were blind. The verses of the Psalms we use today repeat the prayer that is found. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, O Lord. Well, what was wrong with Jesus' hometown audience? Well, they had no spiritual eyes. What do the townsfolk see in Jesus? A carpenter's son. And that is all they see. That is their response to Jesus. This guy isn't special. He's Joseph's son. The townsfolk were blind, weren't they? So friends, what shall we say? The word magic eye is already taken. What shall we call it? Spirit eye? So that we can truly see the Lord? And we can truly see the Lord at work among us, so that we can truly see what the Lord calls us to accomplish, that we can see the Lord at work in our lives, that we might see the suffering around us so that Jesus can and will heal that if only we will share Jesus with them. Do we need salve for our eyes? Do we need to pray that our eyes will be open? Or do we simply need to train our spirit eyes so that we see the Lord at this table? So that we see the Lord at work in his congregation, at work in his church? So that we see the Lord in the call that the Lord has on your life to a higher purpose? Just as the prophet Isaiah, the priest Isaiah, had a higher call in his life. Already serving the Lord, he received a call to become a prophet. And the prophet Isaiah repeats what the Lord says. The Lord is doing a new thing. Do you not see it? Even Isaiah the priest discovered that despite working for the Lord, he had not yet received his true calling to be a prophet of the living God when he saw the Lord in the temple. But that day so long ago, Isaiah saw, Isaiah heard, Isaiah responded, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Amen.